The following podcast contains adult language, explicit content, and original opinions.
All content within the podcast is only the opinion of Comics Brew and no one else.
It is meant for mature audiences only, so be warned.
Hey folks, so C2E2 is going on.
It just happened, Chris.
We're going to listen to this. It might be a year from now. It might be a year ago. I mean, shit, you might be in the past.
We were only recording live. You can only listen to this live.
That's true. I forgot about that. So we're recording live as you listen to us, which means C2E2 already happened. If you want a better, more comprehensive rundown of what happened, check out next week's episode because...
We wanted to let you watch Daredevil.
Yeah. There's so much shit going on right now. Just give it some time to ferment. Lay low, simmer, and then we'll bring you that juicy news next week.
Oh, yay, lads and lassies. Welcome to our very Irish version of Comics Brew.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm introducing the folks.
Kay?
Just getting real stereotyping right away.
Yep. It's episode 146.
Oh, all right, then.
Oh, God.
Do you have any Lucky Charms?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my strawberry sprinkles. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Josh.
Hi, I'm Tyler.
I'm Adam.
I'm Chris.
Nuh-uh.
Lies.
Most of the time.
Lies and slander.
And, you know, there's a real reason that...
You decided to be all racist right off the bat?
How is it racist? I'm white.
You're making fun of a...
It's not racism, man. It's
my
white
people.
You can be racist against
it's
whites.
It's old school racism.
No.
You
like
hate
you,
the other white people.
Irish people aren't a race of people.
They're sort of.
They're
a
group of people, but they're not a race.
So I guess that would just be being all prejudice.
I mean, you're prejudice.
Excuse me.
I'm down.
You're a bigot.
You are a bigot.
That's the key. That's a new power word to throw around at people. So.
Bigot. Don't be such a bigot.
So
or bigot. I mean, if you want to be a bigot, you can too. But
I'm one of two of those. I'm pretty sure.
A bigot? I believe that.
No, I'm a biggin.
Oh, yeah. Rather small in stature.
You
do hate a lot of things.
It's true for us all. It's true for us all. Now, I'm stalling a little bit because I read, like, the funniest fucking joke. Oh, okay. If Americans have...
Are we telling jokes?
Yeah, I know you got one, too. But if Americans have an Irish car bomb, is it okay for Irish people to have an American school shooting?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I would say so,
by
right?
By that logic, I have to agree.
Yeah, you know why? Because car bombings are tragic.
Just like a school shooting.
Right?
What would you put in a school shooting?
A school shooting.
American school shooting.
Oh, yeah, grenadine.
Yeah, but you got to go like, it's like you attack the stereotypical nature of the thing, right? So you got to go something like...
Bud Light, grenadine, and tequila.
Yeah.
Tarantula tequila, because that's a white fucking tequila.
No, Jose Cuervo, man.
Is there, so you know how there are some of those drinks where it's like, it'll be a bunch of thin liquors and then they'll put in a splash of Bailey's? They're called weird-ass gross names, but it looks like you can see the separation of color.
You're talking about the cum shot or a cum in a warm bathtub or something like that?
There's got to be one you can do like that with a clear liquor and a red floater in there that looks like that's blood in the middle of your glass.
I think it's a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah, brain hemorrhage.
Well, I know brain hemorrhage is a thing, but...
Yeah, that's a horrifying thing.
It's awful.
It's like the worst thing.
Oh, yeah. No, there totally is. It's called a hemorrhage. Brain hemorrhage.
I don't know if... I think it, like, floats in, like, peach schnapps or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's red on the bottom in a clear liquor, and then there's... It looks like some sort of cream poured on top, so it looks like brain matter that's leaking blood. It's actually... It looks like an abortion in a glass. I'm not
gross.
Gonna lie.
Let me see. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've seen those. They're really disgusting looking.
Yeah. Really. So if you could do like that,
I would drink one.
Yeah, I'd try it. But if you could do that without the white shit, I think you could have yourself a school shooting.
All right.
There you go.
I second that.
Well, why are we really drinking or talking Irish tonight? What's up with that?
Why are you talking Irish?
I know.
Yeah. It's this wee shit.
But there's a theme. What are you drinking?
Your bigotry?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
continued bigotry.
Tonight I am drinking a Colchin Brewing Red Ale, and then I'll be following that up with O'Hara's Irish Red, and then O'Hara's Irish Stout. In honor of, you know, St. Patrick, freeing the Emerald Isle.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day was a couple days ago.
It was. So that's probably why I got... So I was going to get two of the same beer, but I get a lot of shit for drinking the same thing on
No. You just get shit for drinking the same Mickey's all the time.
Well, it's good. I almost got a fucking Mickey's because it's kind of Irish.
Oh, so it's not prejudice.
It's branded as an Irish drink, even though it's malt liquor. But so I got the beer that I got, just a random pick that I'm drinking now. It's a Sheaf Stout. It's imported Australia stout.
It's good stuff.
It's actually, would you like to try it, Tyler?
I've already had it, but yeah, I'll try it.
Feel free to
pass that around.
Gross.
It was $3 a bottle, and it's actually pretty good for a $3 bottle of beer.
Yes, it is.
And then what I was going to get two of today, but changed my mind at the store, was I got an Irish Death after that.
Yes. You do know there are times that Chris just brings two bottles of Mocha Death, and he's like, I'm good.
That's what he's drinking.
I've done it before as well, but I wanted to mix it up.
Oh, okay. What you got, Chris?
Well, I have the... So, at some point, someone bought a Great Divide Oak Barrel IPA.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's been sitting in our studio for 3 years now?
Yeah, it's been...
I don't see it anymore.
That's because Mr. Chris took it.
Wow.
Yeah, I put it in my fridge, and I'm going to drink it tonight. For some dumb reason. Obviously, we left it up there for a reason because it probably sucks balls. But
so
I'm just going to go have... I'm going to give a sip right now.
I remember why you put it in here. Oh, gross.
It's like this detergent.
You know, right,
it's like this detergent.
Beer doesn't have a shelf life. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm going to drink that, unfortunately. And then I have a Guinness Stout that I poured over some ice cream because my wife wanted to make... my wife made it for me. So she was going to make... she was going to make ice cream floats. Ice cream sundae, so she bought a Guinness so I could have that. And then I also have a Lo-Fi Spin Cycle, if I can get that far. But my throat's kind of burning from the Great Divide, so...
3 years old, and it's just burning a little bit, huh? I remember why that's in here. So remember when we went to see Gus 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So there was a beer in your back seat that I saw on the way back, and you're like, yeah, it's been in here. Someone brought, you know, Great Divide like a while ago, and it's just been in here.
Is this like the second time Chris has drank in our presence some bizarre old beer that somebody just left around?
Yeah. The last time was that beer that was supposed to make him trip.
Yeah.
Yep.
This should be like your thing. Let's just let beers age in horrible conditions.
That actually looks like a really cool pour.
It looks like a cool pour, but Tyler made a... What the fuck did you make?
What do you mean?
Foam and then half foam.
I know.
And
it's really a bit of
beer. Yeah, it looks like ice cream and then it becomes beer.
Well, I guess so.
What'd you pour?
I poured, let's see here, a Murphy's imported stout, draft style. It's a can. I got three things because Total Wine doesn't have a lot of Irish beers. One and a half shelves. So I got the Murphy's in a can. I got Wexford Irish Style Cream Ale in a can, and I got a bottle of Guinness Extra Stout. So the Murphy's, I've had the Guinness and the Cream Ale before, but I've never had the Murphy's.
You know, I've got to make a confession. I don't like regular Guinness. I think
that's
for
fine.
A stout, it has a
you
real
know,
lack
this
of flavor.
Is actually pretty good.
The Extra Stout's great. But,
yeah.
I mean,
can I try that, Tyler?
Yeah.
It's all it is.
There's a lot of the cream
stout
up top.
It smells really nice.
Yeah.
Red ale's good. But
that's
yeah,
good.
There's nothing wrong with not liking Guinness. It's an overproduced stout.
Yeah. It feels like the Budweiser of stouts.
It's sort of a bland stout.
But
it's tasty.
That being said,
I bet
you that go to Dublin and have a Guinness there. Even though that's not their main facility anymore and shit. You go to Dublin and you have a Guinness there, it's going to be way different.
Apparently,
really?
Guinness actually tastes different in Ireland than the stuff that they ship out of Ireland.
They don't import this, man. Some of it's brewed here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, yeah, apparently it
tastes
different.
This says imported on it. Imported.
From
Guinness
a brewing facility near you.
In Canada.
Yeah.
Well,
probably
Mexico. I'll get to those later. I've had those both before.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Well, it is time to get into news, and it's Adam's turn.
Adam's turn for news.
Oh, I guess Daredevil came out. That's news.
Yeah. we've all watched it entirely because it's Monday.
Exactly.
And,
yep.
You know, if I were only trying to tell you like the first like 2.5 episodes,
you wouldn't say
good.
Shit because some people haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty
damn
good. I'm
pretty
just
damn
saying,
good.
It's like
a good review.
That's true.
Like
yeah,
if
you make
all
it to like episode
about.
8, it's still really good.
Right on.
That's I've read a review like that before.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You know, if you're only curious about a little bit of it, it's just as good as season 1, I would think.
And The only other thing I'd add is that it's faster.
And we'll probably talk a lot more about it next week.
For sure.
Watch it. How about that? Yeah. Get Netflix and watch it.
Yeah. So this wasn't part of the news, but since we're on the Netflix Marvel shit, Luke Cage teaser did drop today.
Sort of dropped.
It was super good.
It exists now, but I wouldn't say they released it.
Yeah, it was. I would say it was leaked internationally.
Oh, I did not know that.
Because I can't find an official video for
it.
Arabic subtitles.
Arabic on the bottom?
Well, that too, yeah.
But it was super cool. It just a bunch of people unloading on Luke Cage, and he just goes, fuck, I hate buying new clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really rad. Cannot wait for that to come out. September 30th?
Yeah.
Yeah, so right around the corner,
Yeah, 6 months around the corner.
That's so close.
I know.
It really is.
You know what's real close?
It's terrible.
In 3 days.
Yeah, three days from now, we got Batman.
Oh, yeah.
And I propose that if you're listening to this next week, you just know we're going to talk about it.
Too much, but we will talk about it.
We're going to talk a whole lot about it.
We're going to talk a shitload about it.
We're going to try not to.
But we're going to.
But we're totally going to spoil it.
No, I don't know about
it.
This is a preview for next week's episode. We're going to talk about Batman Superman.
And Daredevil.
Next week. and Daredevil.
You've had
no
your
news,
morning.
No reviews.
Are you sure
something
about
else
that?
For the third. No, we'll have all those things.
All right, so
don't want to switch it up too much.
As far as news goes,
I'd be down.
We'll figure it out. You'll see next week. Tune in.
Yeah.
So
for this show, what you got?
So first thing I want to talk about is we now have a Mira for Aquaman. As far as Aquaman's wife is concerned,
we've had her around.
She's now confirmed.
Yeah, we don't know. We didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
Now we do.
And it's Amber Heard is going to be playing Mira in the upcoming Justice League and Aquaman movie.
So I'm saying Batman's...
Go ahead.
Who the fuck is Amber Heard?
A tiny appearance in Batman Superman, but maybe not.
I know Aquaman makes an appearance in Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yeah. Shit. She's the hot one from Zombieland.
Oh, what?
She's the hot neighbor next door from Zombieland.
You mean Emma Stone?
No, Zombieland.
Yeah, Emma Stone was in that.
Yeah, the neighbor next door, what is it, 313 or whatever, the chick that...
Yeah. She was also in Drive Angry, if you ever saw that super awesome Nicolas Cage movie.
That was amazing.
And she was in Magic Mike XXL, which was...
That's where I know.
Yeah.
The Rum Diary, she's in that.
She was in Machete Kills.
Right on.
Okay.
Well,
she's Machete.
She's a person.
Oh, she's Seth Rogen's girlfriend in Pineapple Express.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Oh, shit. That's her?
Yeah.
That totally is her. Yeah. So she will be playing Mira. So we'll have that to look forward
to. That's funny.
Yeah.
Especially because she looked so damn young in that.
Well,
it
was a long time
ago. 8-9 years ago.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Getting old.
Let it go.
All right. But continuing,
every time
to...
I hear that, I just hear the Frozen song. The rest of it in my head.
Oh yeah,
sure.
It's like when you hear one Sublime song, you've just listened to the entire discography. Doesn't matter.
I don't think that's what he meant at all.
Sort of.
I listened to the whole thing. Yeah,
Sublime was terrible.
Sublime
you're
is
entitled
terrible.
To your incorrect opinion.
Sublime was the shit when I was 14.
Sublime's not terrible.
Sublime's a shit now.
It's all right.
Sublime is shit.
I knew that was coming the second I finished that sentence. I was like, I know what Chris is going to say.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to lop him up.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Wait, so what else is happening? What else happened?
Sticking in the movie world and actually in DC, the writer for Wonder Woman is actually rewriting the script for apparently the Lobo movie that will be coming out.
What?
Yeah, I was completely unaware they were even making a Lobo movie until two days ago.
They've been trying to for a while, but it was like, I don't know, squashed.
Yeah,
they saw that Deadpool did really well, and they're like, maybe we can do this.
That's exactly what they said last night.
Yeah, and I mean, I know before Deadpool came out, I think I even said it on this show, I was like, if this is super successful, they'll probably do a Lobo movie.
Yeah.
I was right, and I wish I wasn't. Because the more I thought about it, I'm just like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work
at
all.
Yeah, but...
Dude, I hope they go old Lobo, though. Because they can
just
go Phobo. Full Macho Man. Oh, it'd be awesome.
So, God, I wish Macho Man was still alive to do this part.
The writer...
Yeah, be perfect.
The writer attached to this movie, his name is Jason, and his last name is spelled F-U-C-H-S.
Fuchs.
Yeah.
No, it's Fuchs.
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 Fuchs. But yeah, he's also the writer of Wonder Woman, so he will be he'll be penning Lobo as well.
Right on. Right on him.
Yeah. If you care,
you're 90, you'll love it.
there will be a small section of people.
Small. If you care, the new X-Men Apocalypse trailer dropped.
I care.
I don't.
Care.
Although I brought it up, I didn't watch it, actually.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Then why did you link it? I watched it, too.
I liked it.
I fully planned on watching it, and then I was eventually. Like, I really don't give a shit about this movie in the slightest.
This might be the next Marvel movie I don't see in a theater. Last one was Fantastic Four. Yeah. I didn't see Days of Future Past in the theater.
Ah.
I did.
It looked like a lot of poop. Just poop
I'm going to like it. I'll be the only one here that goes to see it in a theater.
I think so.
I'll go by myself then.
Good.
You know, it's not good.
Yeah, you enjoy that. You enjoy
you
that
keep,
poop.
You keep buying into the
I will.
Thing. You keep buying into the theory that Fox can make a good X-Men
film. They have. They've made several.
X-Men 2.
Yeah, okay.
And what? Days of Future Past. And X-Men
1.
X-Men 2.
And X-Men 1. X-Men 1 was a lot of fun.
For what we had better. At the time,
two's now, way better.
Not at all.
You can give X-Men 1 credit for launching Marvel Cinema.
Yeah.
Like,
Blade,
in general.
Excuse me?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
With the commercial success
don't talk
of
shit about
X-Men,
Blade.
The commercial success of X-Men drove this new trend.
Didn't
it's
Spider-Man
not even a trend
come out first?
Anymore.
It's just
it's
a
now
genre.
A genre.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you have
just
to
a phase in Hollywood.
Like Westerns and ninja movies?
Yeah, probably.
I don't think so. They'll go on forever.
Yeah, they're still making Westerns and stuff. They're just a lot rarer.
But, yeah,
more
but Westerns, man. They lasted for like 20 years.
Hopefully we get 20. We're about there with comic book movies as well.
Yeah. Anyway.
So moving on from that, Zack Snyder says that Batman vs. Superman's R-rated director's cut will be 30 minutes longer than the 2-hour and 45-minute runtime that the movie already has.
So he wanted to... They cut out a lot of, like, brutal shit to make it not R-rated. So does that mean we're going to get a half hour of just Batman being absolutely brutal to
people? Just, like, be... Like, I want a half an hour of just Batman just crippling thugs.
Like the movie, he, like, punches a guy in the face. In the director's cut, there's, like, another 30 seconds of him just, like, smashing the dude's nose in or something.
Or branding people.
Oh, yeah. Half hour of Bat Brands. I'd watch that movie.
I would watch just that half an hour.
just that half an hour.
Jesus.
So there's that. I mean, I know it comes out next week, and we're all pumped for it to some extent.
Let's not say everybody.
Or mildly excited.
Many people.
Maybe.
Many
there
people.
You go.
Everybody but Chris is excited for this movie.
I don't know if Adam's necessarily stoked on it. Yeah, see?
It's going to be
you, Adam.
Big old convoluted mess.
It will
probably
be a big old convoluted mess, but it's going to be
a
pretty one.
I think I agree
one.
With that. But...
So Adam brought up an interesting point last night on Badflix.
What's
or
that?
Thursday night on Badflix.
Yeah, what's that?
He was bitching about a little bit about how long Batman and Superman already is.
Fucking yeah,
long.
Which
and
is
like,
long.
Yeah, you're right. It is long. But then I fired back at you with, well, Civil War is going to be just about as long.
It's like
it's
5 minutes short.
Yeah.
And you have no problem with that.
No, not at all.
But you like Batman the most.
I do. Yeah, but see, Marvel has proved themselves time and time again, and you're cramming, what, like 11 or 12 characters into Civil War? Granted, Batman vs. Superman has like 8, but these are characters that we're
already
familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, except for, obviously, Spider-Man and Black Panther. We're familiar with everybody else.
Yeah.
We know it works.
You've already been on film once.
Yeah. This Batman vs. Superman is, I mean, Man of Steel was what kicked it off, and that was mediocre.
I loved it.
It was good.
There's a giant spider in it, but I loved it.
Yeah, like, I didn't like Homeless Superman. That I thought was dumb as fuck, which was like half an hour of the movie.
There's a giant spider in it?
Yeah, the world-killing machines.
It reminded me not
giant
of a spider,
spiders.
But it reminded me more of the tripods from War of the Worlds.
Okay, gotcha.
Similar.
Sorry. Yeah. And I also didn't like the, no, don't save me, Clark.
Yeah.
I self-sacrificed. I'm like,
okay, yeah, we've done our bitching about Man of Steel.
So that's why I think it's mediocre. So I just hope this doesn't continue in the trend that set. Because Marvel's continued in the trend that Iron Man set, which was really good.
Except for Iron Man 2, 3.
Iron Man 2 was good.
And
3 was meh.
Yeah, that's about it. Iron Man 2 and 3 sucked.
I liked 2. 2 was okay.
Yeah.
2 was where you got War Machine for the first time.
Yeah, and it's also where that whole scandal out of, what's his name, Terrence Howard not being on the movie came
out. It also was just a giant packed mess of garbage.
That as well.
It was a little bit of that.
That's why it's not like a good movie.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, I've got more faith in Civil War to entertain me for 2 hours and 45 minutes, where I don't have that faith with DC right now.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's really what it comes down to. Hopefully I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. I'm not counting on it.
We'll see.
So the next thing I wanted to get into, we'll continue with the comic trend, actually.
So, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, well, I was going to go beer, and then we'd be coming back to comics. I didn't want to do that. So
want to bounce around?
Valiant unveils that they have 15 new exclusive contracts. Well, not all of them are new. Some of them are continued, but they have 15 exclusive writers and artists.
What?
Yeah, that they have announced, which is actually the largest publicly known group of exclusive writers and artists.
In the industry,
which I was unaware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have assumed that Marvel and DC would have had more.
It's just the biggest acquisition in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when it's enough numbers that it kind of rivals when Image started.
Oh, yeah, just like a big group
Just
of people.
A bunch of people.
Well, they're trying to be one of the big four. They're trying to,
yeah, they still
trying
need
to muscle
that.
In there.
They're really far behind.
But trying.
Anybody else that's closer to catching, like, Image?
Yeah, Dynamite.
Dark Horse,
Boom.
Really? You think Boom's?
Oh, yeah.
Boom's gaining
Boom's
ground
booming,
fast.
Man.
Yeah.
Fair
Damn
enough.
It.
But, yeah, like Josh said, this is just the largest acquisition of talent in a very long time, which, I mean, you need to talk into. They've got
a shitload of people
coming back.
A little bit, yeah. There's some there's some great artists over there. Doug Braithwaite, he did all of the art for like Armor Hunters.
Yeah,
and
I remember you talking about
XL
him on there.
War.
I watched.
His art's really
I
good.
I read some Thor run that he did.
Yeah,
he's really good.
He's a really good artist. They picked up.
Diego Bernard, that guy doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, right. No, he's great too. Right.
That guy's really good.
Kafu,
which is the upcoming artist for Rey 4001 AD. That actually looks kind of rad.
Trevor, you read Divinity. Trevor Harrison.
Oh, that art?
Yeah.
That artist?
Yeah.
That series had pretty good art. I don't think I ever finished that series, actually.
Also going to be a Divinity 2.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Do you have the whole Divinity series?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I need to read the last issue.
Clayton Henry, David LaFuente, Luis LaRosa. Like, these guys are all... They've all already worked on Valiant titles, but now they're, like,
exclusively
Valiant.
Yeah. Well, that also gives them benefits like health insurance shit, too, right? As opposed to bouncing around.
That's what DC offers. I don't know if necessarily it carries through all publishers, but that is one thing that DC
does. They're just putting their brand on these guys.
Yeah.
Making them their slaves.
They're actually... It's kind of like Do Not Compete.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like you can't
do anything for anybody else because you're working for us. But they'd have to offer more than just money for their books if they're going to get somebody to do something exclusive like that.
They can say exclusive Valiant creator.
Yeah,
on like a resume, or I guess it doesn't matter, a business card on the inside of their comic.
I was going to say, isn't their business card
maybe
and
they
resume
make more
just
money
their comics? I'm sure that they get a larger...
Actually, I bet you their page rate's higher.
Oh, yeah, I almost guarantee it.
Or
either a page rate or they have solid work.
Like, or a salary.
Yeah,
like
that too, yeah.
Like salary.
Even
instead.
If your content is done and we don't have you working on anything else, you're still getting a paycheck.
Or something.
Yeah.
Or like some kind of compensation.
Or but a nice gift basket.
But I mean, there are exclusive...
some summer sausage.
Exactly. Dude, I could go for some summer sausage right now. Got any summer sausage, Josh?
I mean, if you want to step outside...
That's a wiener joke.
I know it is.
Do 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 dicks.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get into the last little bit of news. This is some beer news.
This is great.
Yeah, Silver Bay City, which is a city in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, their city council votes to remove Bent Paddle beer from the municipal liquor store, which is apparently the only liquor store in fucking town. Yeah. So
why'd they want to remove it?
Bent Paddle. It's a mining town.
So, okay, Silver City's in Minnesota.
There we go. Like I said, bumfuck.
Bumfuck Minnesota.
Yeah, because Bent Paddle's a Duluth-based brewery and a city council in that state.
Should I pour my cream ale back in the same glass?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Why not?
That, get your mouth over that hole.
Slurp it up like me.
It's too big. I'll do it with the Guinness.
Yeah, it is with that attitude. You're right.
Okay, but go continue. The city council voted.
Yeah, so anyways, the city council voted to remove them from the liquor store. And the reason why is because Bent Paddle, there's a new copper mine that is being started along the river that Bent Paddle's brewery is built on. And that is where Bent Paddle gets a lot of their water for their brewing process. And they don't want that shit to get contaminated from the new mine, the copper mine that is being
put
in.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so they're just like, hey, don't do it. We understand it's a mining town. We're all for you fucking mining. Just be mindful of
the water.
The water, yeah.
Which
the
our
shit
beer
around
comes
it.
From.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people got in an upheaval about it.
A little bit of a kerfuffle.
Yeah, and they were all like, it's a mining town. You shouldn't be able to do that. And I believe it was it the state liquor control or the county liquor control was just like, vote with your dollar. If you don't like it, don't fucking buy it. But we're not going to waste our time removing something like that. And so they that wasn't good enough for a small group of people. So they're like, we're taking this in front of city council because we're a mining town and city council needs to care about miners. And so they did, and yeah, it got voted in 3-2, so it has to be removed from liquor stores. Granted, the two bars in town still sell it. There are two other places in town that also
still
sell it.
That's just going to help local business, just not the liquor store business.
Yeah, no, they're still in the Green Door in Beaver Bay and at the Two Harbors Municipal Liquor Store. So
if anybody from there is listening, that's where you can get it.
Yeah. Drive over to Two Harbors and get your beer there.
Yeah, get your Bent Paddle over there.
You know, I originally thought this was, like, the story was just because of the name Bent Paddle.
Oh.
But I after looking at it, I was like, Bent Paddle doesn't really mean shit.
Paddles are used on rivers, I guess, but that's probably not the connection.
And, like, bad children's behinds, but, mm-hmm. like...
It's used so much it's bent.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bad kid.
Maybe the river people.
Well, yeah. A lot of breweries have to have bullshit names, don't they? Like, they don't mean anything?
Yeah, like what?
Wingman Brewery?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything?
Was he stand on wings? Is he brews beer?
Like, there's probably some, like, story behind it.
You know Airways has the fucking 747
but
cone.
But that's the story behind it is what I mean. Like, essentially, it doesn't really mean much. Bent Paddle probably has a story behind it that we just don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's a valid point.
That's why I'm looking at him right now. yep.
Chris is on the case.
They like paddling.
They like paddling.
Oh, well, that's a paddling.
That's a paddling.
That's a paddling.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
they have a bunch of other beers, so it's not like this is going to be something that's going to destroy them.
No, not at all. I just thought it was kind of ridiculous.
It's interesting.
That a city council's like, you can't sell your beer because you don't like miners and mining. And
well, I mean, you have to look at it from their side. Like, they're voted in by the constituents of the town. Who are miners.
Yep.
So they're technically that's government's purpose.
I thought miners couldn't vote.
God damn it.
Chris,
I was so close.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so...
Fuck you.
Mining's a bad thing. Mine's a bad thing if you're fucking up water supplies.
Let's get into bifiles.
I'm going to go first because mine was wicked short. So I picked up Three Demons, which will be my review this week. I picked up
Your Mom,
I fucking
which was pretty cheap this week.
Forgot what the fuck I
Zing!
Picked up. I picked
you
up.
See, here
I'm gonna
about
go
your
first.
Mom.
Hey, I don't care.
got you good.
Quick.
I picked up the new Rat
got
Queens.
Got you good, you fucker.
Chris is doing Rat Queens.
Yeah, Rat Queens as well. We'll obviously get into that. And then what was the other fucking thing that I picked up this week?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
I know.
I just work here.
Herpes?
Yeah. That was it. Thank you.
Shit, that's for life, dude.
I was able to catch up on Starve this week, so I'm currently there was a new
right
Starve
on.
This week.
Also
still
for
great.
Life.
Yeah. Still super fucking good. And then what the fuck else did I pick up?
I don't know. But while you try to think, I'll tell you what
I got. It was some book about a jungle lady, and then Tarzan's in it at the end, but
so
he lives
Tarzan?
In the city.
Tarzan?
Yeah. No.
Was it Tarzan?
No. Jungle?
Sounds like Tarzan.
Jungle Lords?
It's Jungle Lords. Thank
Lords
you.
Lords of the Jungle.
Lords of the Jungle. Go. Yes, that's what it is.
Right on.
That was poop. Won't be picking up number two.
I'm bummed. I had such high hopes for that book I didn't buy.
So I actually have my biggest buy pile in a couple weeks now.
Brag about
but,
it.
But everything that I... got I reviewed before, so I decided to just grab something new. So we'll get to what I grabbed new at the end here. I grabbed Lumberjanes 24, sort of the end of the arc. There's seal people and pirate ladies and the Lumberjanes. It's still fucking great.
Sounds fun.
Monstress number 4.
gets a lot more into sort of the backstory of what's going on with the Arcanix and the Kumea. I can't remember. Federation, I think, is the government. Like, humans are these crazy monster people.
Now, there's no sex in this.
No.
So there's no monster sex.
There's no monster sex.
I'm out.
Yeah. So it takes place in the champagne room?
In the champagne room.
But there's this crazy, this girl who doesn't have an arm from the elbow down. She's infested by this crazy evil god. So it's actually pretty sweet. The series did start out slow, but it's really kind of picking up.
Started off really slow. Started off slow with a 90-page comic.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of world building.
Okay.
And now there's still a lot of world building in this, but, like, weird shit is happening. It's cool. I like
so
it.
So it's
that's
not
that's
as
all
slow
I
as, it's not as slow as Trees.
No, it's definitely not as slow as Trees.
Okay.
I got James Bond 007 Varger, issue 5. I never actually got issue 4.
Good on you.
I was going to wait and then read 4 and 5, but I decided, fuck it, let's just pick up 5 and see what happens.
Did you hear the Warren Ellis news?
No, what's the Warren Ellis news?
He's out after issue 10.
Oh, on Varger?
Yeah, after James Bond.
Not even surprised, because that's what he does.
Yeah, he does 6 issues of Moon Knight, gone.
Yeah, so this issue is almost entirely Bond in this crazy shootout with people trying to kill him. It's par for the course for the run so far. Cool secret agent action. There's punctuated by scenes of secret agent intrigue. It's a cool series.
Read that off the back.
No, I did not, actually. These two can attest to that. I was flipping through the book.
He read it off.
I didn't see shit.
So, if you like Warren Ellis, if you like James Bond, it's a cool series. Check it out. I got Low, number 12. Chris, you get this?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
It was fucking ridiculous.
Fucking ridiculous. The series has taken
such a weird-ass turn.
They finally make it to the surface. Only to discover that the surface is now run by crazy bug people.
Yep.
And they're true to form for the series, it just swings wildly between like hope and despair and back and forth over and over. The end of it has a kind of a dark ending, but
yep.
nothing like bad happens to anybody. It's weird.
Well, okay.
Not strictly true, I guess. Like
our main characters are okay.
That's what I mean. Main characters are okay, but it still has like a really sort of down, dark ending. But I liked it. Don't get me wrong. Injection, issue number 8, also a Warren Ellis comic. This is the this is actually the Moon Knight team.
Hmm.
We got a lot of weird shit going on. And I don't really know what... Okay, so this is a series about people who created an artificial intelligence and somehow injected it into reality, and it's making all kinds of weird, basically like folk myths come true, like magic, essentially.
Okay.
It gets fucking
crazy. I'm
glad
I dropped that book a while ago, then.
It's wacky as hell. I mean, I like it because I like Warren Ellis, and I like the weird spin he puts on stuff, but... it's a series for people who like that and nobody else. So it's the most Warren Ellis of the Warren Ellis books I'm reading right now. And my review will be The Roche Limit Monadic, number 1. It's a mini-series.
Oh,
and
man.
Chris, are you current on Roche Limit?
No, I only read the first series. I haven't read any of the sub-series.
See, I haven't read any of it, and I decided, well, mini-series, number 1, let's check it out. But I'll get into that later.
You go next, Chris?
Yeah, sure, I can go. I got Low number 12, written by Rick Remender, art by Greg Tuccini, colors by Dave McKeag. Like Tyler and I were saying, you finally get Earth's surface, you get fire spiders, rodent people, and bug people.
They're speaking English, read this book. Some of them.
It's amazing. It's fucking
nice. It is amazing. I don't think I said that word when I was talking about it, but yeah, it's amazing as fuck.
I picked up Power Man and Iron Fist number 2 by Dave Walker and Sanford Green.
Does this still suck?
It's just a fun, campy story. Like, it's super lighthearted, it's super fun, it's super cheesy. It's got a lot of humor and a lot of heart in it. There's a really awesome part where Power Man and Iron Fist are just fighting these two dudes, and it's Spider-Woman and Spider-Gwen just up top. Like, they're videotaping it for YouTube, and just all they do is just like, man, I'd like to see him without his shirt on. Come on, rip his shirt. Rip a shirt, yeah, look at that. Like, just completely degrading the guys. And I thought it was pretty fun.
It's kind of funny.
So, yeah, no, it's cool. It's at no point is this a serious comic at all. Like, it is strictly just, like, fucking zany, and that's cool. Dragon Age number 4, Mage Killer, or sorry, Dragon Age Mage Killers number 4, written by Greg Rucka and Carmen Carnero. It's good. It's a solid issue.
Sense a butt.
Yeah, but it's like one of those things where now this is the issue where it super dives into Dragon Age, where it's just like, oh, hey, guys. Oh, yeah, these are just dudes from Dragon Age Inquisition. Oh, yeah, 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 they're major characters. Like, and you're going to interact with them. It's like, you don't need to do that. Like, it's already a cool enough world to, I don't need to meet this person and whatnot. Like, it just kind of, it
too
bummed me out that it went there.
Too
yeah, like, it's, yeah, like, let the story hold on its own. Like, you don't need to, like, have these people talk to all these, like, figureheads in the Dragon Age universe. So if you played Dragon Age Inquisition, there's a couple characters that show up in this comic. So, yeah, yeah. And then my review will be Rat Queens 15.
That's nice. I like that.
Right on. Well, my O'Hara's Irish Stout says it's time for me to do my buy pile. Captain Marvel number 3. Good God, dude. This is awesome.
Is it really that good?
She starts having hallucinations of Mar-Vell.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going to leave it, because it's really fucking
intriguing. You know what's weird about Mar-Vell for me?
A lot.
Well, he hasn't really been around for 25 years now. So people that haven't been reading for that long, does it have the same impact?
I don't know.
I feel like he's one of those characters that needs to come back, like, for real.
And hard and strong.
Somewhere, maybe not even, like, main Marvel Universe, but it needs to be.
But can you? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, he, it's a
his
weird.
His death was, like, one of, like, those quintessential perfect deaths.
Yeah, and he died of cancer.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it's in such a weird spot that it's so long ago, but there's still people that are, like Carol, really inspired and
And not only inspired by him, but derived their powers from him.
Exactly. Like, he's this weird legacy character that everybody looks up to, everybody in the Marvel Universe liked, but he hasn't been around for 30 years.
Well, I think the last time you really saw him was Earth-X, Universe-X, and Paradise-X.
Yeah.
That was, was the last time
he
was
around
big.
A little bit a couple years ago, but he was a Skrull.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So
in Secret Invasion.
A little different. But...
Yeah, he ran the Dimension X place in Civil War.
Prison 42 or whatever it is.
Yes,
you ran that. The Skrull Marvel.
I also picked up International Iron Man number 1. Every once in a while, you just have to read a Bendis comic to remember. Oh yeah, he's useless unless he's writing Miles Morales.
Or
you know
Daredevil.
What I mean? Or Scarlet.
Hey, he's got a range, and sometimes he goes out of it.
Yeah, like Iron Man. He tries to write John Favreau's RDJ. He tries to write that Iron Man.
Oh.
And it sucks.
It just doesn't come across.
It comes across, but the text.
He could nail the dialogue halfway.
Yeah.
It'll just drag on too long.
Or he gets the dialogue right, and then the setting sucks. Or like the logistics of the comic are just awful. Sinestro number 21. Smug Nestro puts Soren Akhnatu in charge of the Sinestro Corps, and she appoints Arkalo, the Yellow Lantern of Sector 2814.
Huh.
And that's it.
That's all that happens?
Pretty much.
Right on.
Poison Ivy, Cycle of Life and Death number 3. Still fucking great. Still hits Ivy as her humanity a little bit more. And Catwoman shows up in the end.
Ooh.
Chris will talk about Rat Queens number 15. Lucifer, I picked up 3 and 4 because I missed a week. You know how the goddamn...
Can I read those?
Yes. You know how the goddamned is like a blunt instrument?
Yeah.
Lucifer is the opposite. It's nuanced. It's critical. It's subtle.
You should read the
elegant.
First Lucifer series.
I know. But like you said, when you read the first one, it's like it just follows that so well. This is even better, dude. It's so good. 3 and 4. Awesome.
You get more of a little more of the mystery of what the angel saw through the chair.
You get a little bit more of everything.
Oh, right on. Okay.
And you find out why there's a piece of Lucifer missing. Ironically, it's kind of the same thing as the hole in the chair. There's a missing part of the chair. There's a missing part of Lucifer. Exactly. Superman American Alien number 5 will be my review. I'm not first.
I'll go first.
All right.
Aww. Oh, do you really want to go that bad, Tyler? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because this is going to be quick. I just heard the Roche Limit was pretty good. So I decided to check out...
The first series is really good.
Yeah, I heard that it was great. So I decided, why not check it out, you know? It's a number one, it's a miniseries. It was sort of an experiment to see if I could understand absolutely anything that was going on.
Turns out, no.
Well, I feel that this is a particularly bad issue to start on, first off. Because it is... entirely a series of first I have to mention it's written by Michael Moreci, arts by Kyle Charles, colors by Matt Battaglia? There we go. Battaglia. Probably Battaglia. I don't fuck. It doesn't matter. So it's a bunch of basically what seems to be like fever dreams, hallucinations, like three or four different settings of different times and different scenes in two people's lives.
Okay, now when you say times and scenes, do you mean like...
I mean like it seems like it's a bunch
20,
of...
Here's a scene from 20 years ago.
No, I mean like it seems like it's a bunch of flashes of things all sort of happening at the same time, but it's like dream states going on.
Okay.
There is one thread of one woman trying to figure out basically what's going on. She's kind of confused about this whole thing. And, you know, I don't know how to really tell you what's going on other than to tell you what happens at the end here. So, somebody's been telling her to go, like, figure out her world, like, go do this thing, this transmission she's been looking for. Like, she's been in one of these sort of dream states, it seems she's been looking, or at least what seems to be dream states. I don't know what the word is, she operates a radio telescope thing, looking at part of the sky for a signal, and somebody...
Astronomer!
Well, she's sort of an astronomer, but specifically looking for, like, radio signals. So I feel like there's a word for that. Doesn't matter.
A radometer.
Yeah, sure. So that's, like, the most coherent thread through it. So she decides to take the advice and adjust and look a little bit different. And she receives a signal that it's a loop transmission, it seems. Somebody just saying, if you're listening, this is not a hoax. We found a way to end this. This is Lieutenant Elbus, and then it shows what's on the screen, and it's her. So, it would seem that all two, possibly three of the characters that are focused on in this are in some sort of just bizarre, induced, crazy, false world dream state. I don't even know what's going on. Now, that being said, the art's actually pretty nice. I liked it.
So,
it's pretty moody, pretty good, and there's some weird supernatural seeming shit happening in different parts. Other than that, it's sort of incoherent because I feel like I really should have read the first series. This is not
a place to
this
jump
is not
on.
A number one that you can jump in on, unfortunately, which is what I wanted to discover. Could you jump in on this number one? Turns out you can't, unfortunately. But you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if you've been reading Roach Limit, this will all make perfect sense.
And you'll like it.
Everything I said is probably wrong. And you'll probably like it. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to go first.
Fair enough. So, real quick, you were talking about there's a word for a radio astronomer.
Yeah.
There's not.
Fucking A.
So, radio astronomy is just a subfield of astronomy.
There you go.
And they're all called right. Radio astronomers.
Well, I'm going to go next with Superman American Alien number 5.
Get the wind out of his sails.
I'm really bummed.
And it's written by Max Landis, and it's drawn by... Francis Manapul, and that is exactly the reason why I picked this comic up, because I stopped reading Superman American Alien after number 3, because Max Landis is a terrible writer.
Uh-huh.
But I read this one solely based on the art, and I was pleasantly surprised by the story. I was. So this is, in between 3 and 5, Batman came on the scene for the first time.
Oh, okay.
And Superman and him had his first confrontation, but this is before Clark becomes Superman, like assumes the mantle and stuff. So
is
Batman,
it like a super encounter, or just sort of like Clark Kent meets Batman?
Batman like pins Clark down to a table and is like, "Who are you? Why do you know all this stuff?" Like,
and squeal like a pig.
Yeah, exactly. And Clark like opens his eyes, grabs Batman, and throws him. But Batman ends up fleeing, and he just loses his cape. Mm. So Superman keeps the cape, turns that cape into his new costume for 4. He's got like a soldier's helmet on, big old goggles, and then Batman's cape trailing behind him. And he's got a black shirt with an outlined white S. Basically, this issue is just him meeting up with Parasite for the first time, along with, kind of like learning how to patrol the city as Superman, or as he will become.
Fly
Superman.
Around the best route.
That and like you know eating his lunches and stuff like on top of roofs and there's this whole there actually is this little argument between him and Lois about Superman as a member of society. Like, is he dumbing down the society because everybody's going to be like, oh, save me? And he's like, no, I'd like to aspire and stuff like that. But it ends in a confrontation between Lex and Superman for the first time. And Superman ends up, like, throwing Parasite through Lex's window at LexCorp. And they get into this whole, like, fucking argument, and Luthor's just like, you're an idiot. You did this entirely the wrong way. Yes, I did this. I did all of this, but you don't have proof, and you just assaulted me. It's
so
great. Yeah.
I'm going to be free to go.
So Clark ends up, like, you know, talking his... so he replaces the window.
Repel Superman.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good last page.
It's a good last page of the comic. So definitely, like, the
Yeah, guys, you're curious what we're seeing? Buy it.
Yeah. The only reason to pick this comic up, though, is solely for the art. I mean, it's got an entertaining story, but it's all about Francis Manipal. Totally getting...
Does he do the Francis Manipal style?
You mean the title page?
Well, I mean, like, just blending stuff around.
Oh, fuck yeah.
The panels together.
Oh, yeah, he does that a lot. Unless there's, like, a super exposition moment, then yes, he does. Yeah. But I'm super stoked to meet him at Emerald City Comic Con. It's going to be great. I'm going to go, like, full retard fanboy.
Yeah, I see your little dinosaur arms.
Yeah. Do that in front of him.
Francis Manipal! Aw, he's special. Yeah, I'll draw you something.
Just wear a helmet.
Just go full Raptors.
Wear a helmet with your press pass.
Nice. That's where I'll tie my press pass to. It'll be like a
even better. Man.
Also, there's gonna. I'm gonna
please
I'm gonna
do.
Wear, I'm also gonna wear like a if I'm lost, please call bracelet.
911.
Who's next?
I'm gonna go next because I wanted to go next before you, but you cut me off.
But it was so quick. So
you wanted to go first.
I did want to go first. This is true. Because I'm really excited about
this. So, Chris, what you got?
Three Devils. I picked it up just because it was a number one, and my buy pile was really small, so I wanted to check something new out. And I dug it. I'm glad that I picked it up. I will definitely be picking up number two. It is by IDW Publishing. Stories by Bo Hampton. Arts by Bo Hampton. Letters are by Bo Hampton. Covers by Bo Hampton. But the color is by Jeremy Moeller.
You just said colors. Oh, you said covers.
Covers. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, if that didn't sound clear, Bo Hampton did the cover, not the colors. And this was actually really good.
I just like his name. He's got a really cool
Bowler.
Name.
He's writing a kind of...
Bo
Hampton, which is a kind of a southern name, and he's writing a western, which is kind of hillbilly.
Nice.
I mean, most cowboys were rather hick-like.
Who publishes it?
IDW.
Right on. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
Oh, yeah, Image does Roche Lament.
I knew that.
So this book opens up, and it's just a family, a mom, a pa, and a brother, and a little sister, and a little girl. And all of a sudden, they're...
Wait, if there's a little sister, who's the little girl?
The little sister. That's the family of four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I kind of goofed on that. But...
I was going to say, there's a random little girl.
So anyways, they're moseying along the trail in their covered wagon, and all of a sudden, there are three riders in front of them, all silhouetted. And they start cussing out this family for being gypsies. Because they come to find out this family is gypsies in the West. Who knew? So the mom...
Well, they did.
Yeah.
They knew they were gypsies.
Probably.
And so did the writers.
So I guess there were a decent amount of people that knew they were gypsies.
Everybody. Yeah.
But me.
Yeah.
So,
that's the important one, though. You're the reader.
It's just true. I figured it out. So anyways, the mom hides the little girl in this little secret gypsy compartment in their covered wagon.
Right on.
And so the little girl's watching through this crack, and she sees these riders. First, because the dad and brother are gypsies, they get killed with an axe. And then the mom gets her blood drank because these riders are vampires.
Whoa.
What a twist.
I feel like that went from 0 to 100 real quick.
It kind of did the book, too. It's like, oh, they're going to get robbed. Holy shit, he's drinking her blood.
Man, Bo Hampton's going all
you know, the
out.
Only way that could have been better is shit. If he wasn't a vampire.
Does Bo Hampton go hog wild with his with
actually,
his
yeah. Because later on it gets pretty brutal as well. So anyway, she hides in this, vampires don't find her, they leave. She's just hiding in this little gypsy nook until this ex-slave comes along that has one white eye. So you're like, oh, his eye's all fucked up, probably from slaving. That sucks. And... He's just his interior
makes
monologue.
It sound like an occupation,
slave,
like something you're just gonna pick up.
Now
go
I feel
to the
bad.
Slavers union.
Now I feel bad when my boss is like, "How's it going? Just slaving away."
Now you know where it came from.
Yeah, because I didn't before. Mommy, what's slaving? Oh, you don't need to worry about that. Okay,
yeah, you're white.
Either being or owning slaves.
So,
anyways, Slaver Man comes by, and his entire monologue is, I'm all sad. Life ain't worth living.
There's definitely a better angle there.
And slaving was bad. This sucks. And then he finds this little girl, and he's like, wait, she's worth living for? And so he just kind of takes her in, and she's living with him.
Sells her to slavers?
Yeah. No.
I was like, whoa, I called it.
And the entire time, the girl's not talking, and eventually he's just like, hey,
little
girl. That'll
be another 0 to 100 real quick.
We need to go into town. And the entire time, like, she was hidden. She's got this little jewel box, and it's like a miniature treasure chest. And so she just never lets it go. It's always with her. And he's like, you should probably bring that little money box, because I'm tired of seeing you in rags, so you're going to get yourself a new dress. We're going to get you dressed up all purdy. And so on their way to town, a couple fucking highway robbers try and stop them, and that's when Bo Hampton goes hog wild with this story. So they hang the black guy for these hog.
I know why Adam likes this.
Because they're hanging black people.
Wow.
No.
Jesus.
So these highwaymen are all. It's a small altercation, and the highwayman's like, ain't no black dude gonna beat my boys, and hangs the slave. And so the little girl's all by herself. One of the highwaymen's like, I'm gonna rape her before we go to town. And takes her in the back.
Gonna go to town before.
There's literally a panel of like this dude sliding his hand up this little girl's skirt, and then all of a sudden, his neck gets snapped and he gets dragged out of the trailer. And you're just like, "What's going on?" And then another highwayman gets his neck snapped out of nowhere, and you're just like, "This is weird." And then slaver guy is he's not dead. He was not hung. He was just let himself out of the tree, out of the noose, and he turns these two dead people into zombies.
Oh, right on.
And then those two zombies kill the other two highwaymen, and they mosey along their way to town to get her a pretty dress.
So vampires and zombie
and
bikers.
Voodoo sorceress, probably.
And
yeah.
So, yeah, or some sort of undead sorcerer. Necromancer or something or other.
Yeah.
Western. Really surprised, really entertained.
That sounds dope.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Is it a limited?
I'm assuming it's going to be. It doesn't say that it's a limited. It doesn't say it's a 1 of 6or anything like that.
I fucking hate how sometimes publishers would be like, this is a limited series, but they won't tell you until issue 3.
Like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's only 2 more.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised if this is a limited one.
Yeah?
So, yeah, it is good. Gypsy little girl is. I feel like there's something in her box that is not money.
Phrasing!
I knew you were going to laugh at that. I just fucking knew it. I was trying to rise above.
I kind of.
You're not Black Flag.
But yeah,
I could be.
Three Devils is good. If you want a good Western that has also got some supernatural shit to it, pick it up. It's $4. Well worth it.
$4, man.
Yeah. It's more than your $2.99, but.
Yes, you're right. It is.
That is correct.
What you got, Chris?
So Rat Queens number 15 finally came out this week after an eternity between issues, mainly due to artists coming and going.
Yeah.
So this arc has been especially drawn out, and this is the Rat Queens will never be the same again issue.
Yep.
I didn't really like reading through it. I wasn't that affected by what happens in the comic.
Nope.
Like, I was expecting something, like, that I didn't see coming, and everything that happened was like, yeah, that's kind of what I figured was going to happen through the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, and nothing at any point
maybe
during
this.
Maybe
that's just the strength of the story that, you know, you knew.
No, like, I'm reading online, and all these people are talking about, like, crying at this issue and just how bummer it is. I'm like,
what? Really?
Give it, like, 2 issues, and, like, she's going to be back. Like, ending's not going to matter.
So the original attraction for Rat Queens, I think, was that it took the atmosphere of your D&D game and put it in comic form.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. That's why it was great.
Yeah, and then it especially succeeded because it had 4 unique, very strong female characters that you could all identify with, whether you were male or female.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which was awesome. And it mixed just the right amount of action, drama, and humor.
And funnies, yeah.
Yeah, and just made it all fucking perfect for those first 6 or even, like, first, I would say, like, first 9 or 10 issues.
I still like all the issues, but it feels like it's gotten away from what it originally meant to be. And even Curtis Weeb's like, look, like, this is always going to happen. After this, it's going to get back to more Rat Queen style, like, I promise. this had to be done at one point. And it's not like, it's not a bad issue at all. Like, it's a good issue. I liked what happened in it. I liked the reveal was very good. The character that it, like the, this arc is about Hannah. Mm-hmm. Let's not sugarcoat this. This is Hannah's story. Every arc has been, after the first arc, they have focused on one character. So, like, first you focused on Violet and her going back to see her family and all this kind of stuff. And then you focused on Dee and her, like, her religion. And in this one, you've gotten hints at the smidgen, whose Betty. Name I'm looking at, Betty. You see that she even comes clean. She's like, I was part of an assassin's guild called the Five Monkeys. Like, I'm wanted in a couple areas.
Yeah.
But this was Hannah's arc, and it's just one of those things where Hannah always struck me as that girl in high school who's a bitch to be a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what she thrives on. Like, she thrives on being that, like, that bitch.
Yep.
Like, just, like, there's no reason for her to be this way in situations, but god damn it, she's a bitch and she's sticking to it.
Yeah, like, if there was a movie of this, Parker Posey.
Yeah, no, it's just, it doesn't make sense. Like, there are points in this comic where, like, literally everybody is telling her that it's cool. And she's like, nah, fuck it. You guys aren't going to help me. It's like, bitch, they're all telling you they're going to help you. Like, there has been six fucking panels of them being like, no, we're behind you. Like, we get it. Everyone has time. Like, we don't care. You're our sister. We're going to stand by you. And then she's like, whatever, fingers in the air. I'm doing this myself, shit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what is going on? Like, what? And, like, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, it just didn't, it felt out of character to me. But at the same time, like, it was in character and out of character at the same time. I know that doesn't make sense.
No, it does.
It was just weird, like,
it does because she's technically possessed or she's under the influence of
and, like,
the demon.
There's some really cool twists in there. I'm not going to lie. Like, there are some really cool twists. There are some really cool moments. the one thing, like, I remember I texted our friend Misha after this. And I was like, so, like, I'm not going, like, I know this is going to come out sexist. But when did Hannah get giant tits? Like,
right.
There's a part where she's, like, fully naked in front of the mirror. It's like, I don't think you've ever been drawn with, like, G-sized tits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really weird to me. It's like, that's not, like, I get why they're doing it because she's, like, comfortable with herself. She likes the way she looks. But it's just this weird, like, going from Rock to Sejin Stefiva Digijajajik to Tess Fowler. Like, her body has changed so much. And it's fun. Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it was just kind of this weird offsetting, like...
It's jarring.
Yeah, I was like, I don't remember her having, like, boobs bigger than my head.
She never did. Like, it was always, like, maybe B's at best. It was in garb, but still.
And it's fun. Like, every character, like, every artist is going to draw a character a, like, certain way, but it just seemed weird to me. Like, it was just like, I can't put my finger on it. It was just kind of like, that doesn't look right. Like, that's not Hannah to me.
It was like
but,
she was wearing a sports bra the entire time and then took it off
guess,
and her tits are
like,
huge.
Yeah, but like don't get me wrong, like if you've been reading Rat Queens, you're gonna like this series, this arc, this issue. I would say go back and read the previous arc just so you're caught the fuck up so it's not like what? But it's good. I'm excited to see where it's going and I'm excited to see how this plays out, but yeah, for this being like such a pivotal, like, people crying and swearing about it, I didn't see what the big hubbub about this issue was, so.
I think it was, I mean, my major problem with it was that it was just, all the subtlety and nuance that you could have used to, you know, express this problem that Hannah has or whatever, this feeling that she has, you didn't do that. You went the easy route and you just went blaring, like, bitch. You just, that's all
yeah,
you
like,
did
no
with
reason to be that way.
Yeah, exactly. There's no character reason for that. I mean, there might be if you go, like, super literal with it and just be like, yeah, she's just been a bitch the whole time.
Surprise,
because.
Surprise!
But other than that, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to read the next arc, dude.
I'll check it out. I'm going to, because I like Curtis Weeb, so I'm going to keep checking it out, but. Yeah, I just didn't. For all the hubbub that was made about this issue, I just didn't.
You didn't see it?
No. Yeah. It's a good issue. I'm not going to say it's like a terrible issue, but it's just not like. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to be bummed. It's just like.
Are you saying. For anybody out there who saw the reaction is like, oh my god, you're kind of saying, hold, chill a second.
To me, it just didn't hit me that way. Like, our friend Paula was just like, I'm crying into this comic book. It's like, I. Can't at any point during this comic say I would have cried at it, and I can't speak for the female. Like maybe this is has being a dude. I don't get a lot of the nuances of it.
Only one comic can make me cry.
Why?
I said only one comic can make me cry.
Why the Last Man?
No, not Why.
What?
Silver Surfer Requiem.
Nah, man. If you didn't cry at the end of Why the Last Man, you're not a fucking human being.
Requiem was worse.
I'm just gonna put that out there.
We've probably known that for so long. We just never put a name to it. As far as like our relationship with Tyler.
That's okay. I can live with that.
That he's not human.
Did you cry at the end of Why, Tyler?
Did I finally what?
Did you cry at the end of Why?
No. I mean, it was really sad. Don't get me wrong.
Well, then you're not human.
Don't tell me what happens. I haven't finished.
The fascist.
So I definitely wouldn't cry at Rat Queens.
Chris, you're cutting out again, man.
That's how mad he is, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's so mad at you, you're cutting out so bad.
That's what it is.
Hey, you're back.
Maybe. I am. You Trump-supporting fucker.
Hey. Whoa.
No, that's what you are.
Back it up a second here.
Nope. Not taking it back. You should cry at the end of Why the Last Man. You're going to fucking vote for Trump.
Fuck that.
Trump wouldn't cry at the end of that.
I'd rather bomb the whole country myself than vote for Trump.
I mean, it can't be that bad.
Build a wall around Why?
It's real funny, Chris.
That's a topical joke because that's the big thing about him.
You know, yeah. And Tyler's a Trump supporter. He's all about
apparently.
Can't stump the Trump. That's apparently Donald Trump's big rally saying.
Can't stump the Trump.
Can't stump the Trump. I stumbled on that.
We hit minorities, but I guess I was way off.
Yeah, you're off message, Chris.
No, I think it's still on message.
That's the text.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, it'll probably bring us into our third segment now. And Tyler, this being yours, it's all on you, Bretta.
Well, so this is going to be a little loose. So we decided to do St. Paddy's Day. Let's all drink Irish beers. And I'm fairly certain that one Matt Murdock is an Irish Catholic.
Well, you'd be fairly correct.
Yeah. So what? And also, just this weekend, Daredevil Season 2 was released. It seemed like a pretty fortuitous timing there.
A little on the nose, you think?
Yeah. I mean, and actually, it brought to mind a question. Do you think they released it at this time on purpose?
Well, remember they were originally slated to do it next week. They were originally going to combat Batman.
Well, I originally
Superman.
Thought that they moved it to not do that. But now I'm thinking, did they move it to put it right next to St. Paddy's Day?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it just
maybe I'm not that far
way.
In this series. Or, no, maybe when I had that question, I wasn't that far into this series.
Yeah, but look at it now.
Like, yeah, I know. Obviously, it makes total sense. But, so my thought was, well, why don't we just fucking talk about our favorite Daredevil stories?
Yeah,
or at least good, great Daredevil stories or runs, because he is a classic character, has a lot of really great runs, and it's sort of, if you had to pick a holiday for Daredevil, it's now. I mean...
Can I go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Cool, because I've only read one Daredevil story.
That's fine. See, I
and
realized...
Born Again.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is probably, like, if anybody wants to read Daredevil, read Born Again. It is... fantastic.
Who writes that one?
It is
that
Frank
is Mark
Miller.
Frank Miller. Mark Millar.
Yeah, that's part of Frank Miller's run. Okay.
Frank Miller
and it's,
David
I believe
Mazzucchelli.
It's what's his name? David Mazzucchelli.
Mazzucchelli.
Ooh, yeah, Dave Mazzucchelli.
Mazzucchelli is that how you say his
Mazzucchelli.
Last name?
Yeah,
he's Italian. David Mazzucchelli.
Yeah, no. So this arc is basically the Kingpin destroys Matt Murdock's life.
Yep.
Like just destroys it, and it's about Matt Murdock's just in like trip into insanity, and it is so fucking good to read. Like there's one point where Matt Murdock is talking to someone on the phone. I don't remember who it is. I remember it's a black dude, but I don't remember his name.
All right.
I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is. But
is he in the show?
No, I don't think so.
He's not that black dude in the show?
Well, the black dude in the show is in black in the comics.
Oh.
It was Ben Urich, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about Ben Urich.
Oh, the cop?
No, not the cop. The gangster that...
Oh, fuck. What's his name?
It's not Burke, but it's something
like
that.
It's something like that. He sells guns.
He sells guns, yeah.
Probably
Turk.
Not.
Yeah.
Turk.
So,
that's it.
Turk.
Yeah, so basically, like, Kingpin, like, it's this really cool shot between... Matt Murdock talking on the phone, and this guy kind of responding to Matt Murdock the entire time, like, Matt, like, don't do this, man, don't do this. And Matt's like, what's that? You think I should go kill the Kingpin? That's a really good idea. And then he just leaves the phone hanging and walks off, and you just see it coming across the lines as, if you'd like to make a call, please hang up and dial again. Like, the entire time, he's just talking to himself into this fucking payphone.
Wow.
Oh, it's so good. It is And then you get some of the nuke stuff, which were tied into Jessica Jones. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's really, really good. This comes off of, I think it... I always thought that...
Well, Frank Miller basically reinvented Daredevil.
He did.
Yeah, this was right after... what's his name? Kevin Smith did the whole...
No, that would have been before. That was long before.
Yeah, Frank Miller's run was in the 80s.
Yeah, Miller's...
No, I thought that what's his name was the one who introduced her as a heroin addict.
I believe Kevin Smith did that.
This is after she's a heroin addict.
Oh, so maybe he did do another little bit of it.
Dude, so this was 1986 when he did this.
What were you asking about?
Miller in 1982.
When was Born Again?
Born Again.
Oh,
Born
yeah.
Again
yeah, okay. I thought so. So maybe he did introduce the heroin addict part of it.
Of Karen.
I thought that was Kevin Smith. Yeah, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'm talking about is specifically, it's an 86. It's 277
yeah.
through Daredevil 33.
The Kevin Smith one is Guardian Devil.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's where she dies.
That is one of the ones where she dies.
Okay, that's what it is. He kills her. So she becomes a heroin addict at one point, sells out Matt Murdock and all that. It's just good. Read it. It's fucking great.
Yeah, Daredevil has a lot of... It's kind of weird. He's just like, okay, you got the Avengers always saving the world.
Has HIV.
Oh, is that Kevin Smith's thing?
Matt is visited by Karen, who reveals that she apparently has HIV from her time as a porn star.
Oh, okay, that's right. Daredevil's got like a huge amount of really personal stories.
Yeah,
I feel like way more so than almost any other character. Probably because
if anybody says Shadowlands, I'm going to hang up this call right now.
No, I'm not going to talk. Shadowlands is the one we don't talk about.
Shadowlands one where he became leader of the Hand.
Yes,
I read part of that.
I have all of that. It's over at my house now.
I gave up on.
So most of my knowledge of Daredevil comes from Frank Miller Born Again. So
yeah,
so I've read a lot of like that, a lot of Daredevil stories, but the one that I followed, followed is the wrong word because I powered through most of it and then continued to follow, right about midway through Brubaker's run. I went back and read Bendis's entire run.
With Alex Maleev?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where he introduces like Lady Dead, or Dead, what's her?
That's Brubaker's run.
Oh, Brubaker's the one that did
did that. So this is one of the few times. This is where I think Bendis like hit his stride. This is a character he can write like nobody's fucking business. His Daredevil run was amazing, and it was all really like between him and Kingpin trying basically fighting each other, but not fist to cuffs.
Yeah,
him versus Kingpin, and at the end of it, Kingpin released Daredevil's identity to the world, or like caused it to be released. So everybody knew he was Daredevil, and he got arrested. So Brubaker came on right then.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my favorite Daredevil story, The Devil in Cell Block D. it's Matt Murdock.
Also a little on the nose.
Yeah, Matt Murdock is in prison for crimes as Daredevil. And the thing that actually made it really... Well, this isn't the thing that made it great, but something that made it even better is this was set right around Civil War. Mm-hmm. Daredevil got arrested during Civil War.
Yes,
well,
he does.
You might ask, how does Daredevil get arrested during Civil War if he's in prison?
How does Daredevil get arrested in Civil War if he's in prison?
Yeah. You know how?
I'm asking you.
Iron Fist was pretending to be Daredevil. This was actually kind of a reintroduction of Iron Fist after a good couple years of not being a character, really, not being around. He was masquerading as Daredevil, and part of it was like Foggy trying to figure out who the fuck is Daredevil. Like,
because we know where Matt is.
Yeah, like who the fuck is Daredevil? But no, Devil in Cell Block D is an amazing story of basically just Matt in prison with everybody he's put into prison. Fucking awesome. And then, Grace, like you mentioned, Lady Bullseye. Once he kind of puts a genie back in the bottle, puts enough doubt on his identity that. A lot of people are like, oh,
Matt Murdock does.
Yeah, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you're not Daredevil. Everybody knows, but it's not proven.
It's not spoken about.
Yeah. And then he busts out, and Brubaker's, the rest of his run is great, brings in Lady Bullseye, who is actually, I haven't read anything with her in the last couple of years. I think she's sort of fallen away. But it was a fantastic addition to the Daredevil lineup. And then you get Andy Diggle coming afterwards, which was great until Shadowlands.
Yeah. No, I read before Shadowlands, which is why I liked Daredevil. It's why I read Shadowlands, because I thought it was good. Because
Diggle... Oh, so I should also mention, through Bendis, Brubaker, and then Diggle, there was this evolution of Matt Murdock. Essentially, so... Okay. You think... Okay, so Batman crosses a line, he's going to kill somebody. Like, that's where Daredevil... Or that's where Batman never crossed. Daredevil, you never think he would, like, be a... Well, for example, kingpin of crime.
But he becomes one.
Yeah, he takes over Hell's Kitchen. That whole era, Bendis to Brubaker to, like, the beginning of Diggle's run, is just this whole evolution of Matt Murdock, like, deciding, well, fuck it, I am going to take over Hell's Kitchen. This is my goddamn city. It was just this insanely good comic run about a character who really, what's his power? He's super sensory?
Yeah.
Other than that,
he's agile.
That's not his power. Like, really, he's just a dude. And he somehow takes down, like, most mob families, and then we keep mentioning Shadowlands. It's a story that need not be spoken of, but before that, he takes over the Hand, because the Hand becomes the new bad guy for him, so he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna take over them, too.
Yep.
So, I would recommend everybody who is curious about Daredevil, well, of course, read the Frank Miller stuff, but go Bendis through Brubaker.
That sounds like a really, really good run.
It's 100 plus issues.
I mean, if we're talking
about... that's long.
If we're talking about Bendis, though, he wrote an 8-part miniseries. Well,
actually, I guess that would be Kevin Smith started that run.
Yeah.
And did an arc or two, and then Bendis picked it up.
Bendis did an 8-part miniseries with Alex Maleev called The End of Days. And it's where they kill Ben Urich.
Mm.
That was fantastic. I think I even reviewed it on the show here.
You did. I remember that.
It was that was an epic one, because it was all based around the last moments between Daredevil and Bullseye. Mm. Like those that heartbeat moment where Daredevil, does he kill Bullseye, or does Bullseye kill himself, or does Bullseye try to kill both of them? It's this whole, like, what went on in that last, like, 2 seconds. And it's 8 issues.
It's about his last words, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's 8 issues of Urich trying to figure that out. And it's just really good. Adam, what do you got for Daredevil?
Honestly, my best Daredevil consumption out of anything that I've done, because I've read even less than Chris, would be in Netflix's series last year. I don't think I've read a full Daredevil arc, to be honest with you. If it has to be comics, I'd say the current run, just because that's the most Daredevil I've read.
Well, we can talk about the Netflix Daredevil. That thing hit a lot of things.
It did.
Born Again is the origin of the costume in most of that series. The ninja costume, one with the cowl over his face. That is Born Again. And
big influence on the show.
So from your perspective, your perspective of just watching the show, what are your favorite character moments for Daredevil in that first season?
Some of my favorite moments as far as the character goes in that first season, I mean, just I don't want to say that Batman drive, because he's doing it for completely different reasons, but he's got that same level of determination. He's just like, doesn't matter what anybody fucking says. He's like,
sense of justice.
Yeah, like, this needs to be done. No one else is going to do it.
Can I bust in for just a second?
Well, if I say no, would you not?
I'd still do it.
Exactly.
So,
not to interrupt
theoretically,
you.
If you're only 2.5 issues into Daredevil season two. Or episodes in Daredevil season two. What you just said.
Yes.
I'm the only one who can do what needs to be done, so I'm going to do it. That is why the Punisher is so great in this season, theoretically, so far, because that is his exact motivation.
No, the Punisher just stays great the entire season so far.
Yeah. It's weird that Matt Murdock is a character that's able to take that in a good direction.
As opposed to just becoming a vigilante murderer?
You compare him to Batman, that's kind of right. Batman's got that code. He's not going to kill somebody, but he'll do everything else he possibly can. Daredevil's just a man, but he's going to do everything he possibly can.
And I even like the fact that he's not just, stopping rapes. He's not just,
I
got to go stop this bank robber. He's like, no, I'm going to actually try and take down organized crime.
Yeah.
As a whole, like in Hell's Kitchen.
And he succeeds.
Yeah, he does.
As far as, like, one of my favorite little character moments in the first season is Nelson versus Foggy. Is the episode Nelson versus Foggy, Where
which number is that? I know
it's like
11. Numbers.
It's when Foggy finds out who he is.
I thought it was like 8 yeah. or 9.
No, it's like 10 or 10? 11.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like 10 or 11. Yeah, because it's pretty close to the end. And there was, what, 13 total?
Yeah, that's one of my favorites for two reasons. One, it's because, like, there's a lot of good, like, visual humor from Foggy when he's like, how many fingers am I holding up and shit? But there's also, it jumps back to them at Columbia Law School.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the origin of the avocados at law thing. Yeah. Like, you, instead of getting all this Daredevil awesomeness, which does, you know, come out in that episode, you get, instead, Matt Murdock the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the moments where Marvel does succeed over DC, is that the entire relatability of all of their characters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can see the person in them.
I'll never understand Batman's cause. Not only am I not a millionaire, but I've never lost my parents.
Yeah.
Matt Murdock, though, while he has lost his parents, he actually just put him... He's just
that's not his motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
No. It's a part of his past, but it's not why he does what he does. Yeah.
It's almost the Catholic guilt that forces him into it.
Which,
actually, that's another thing I really love about Daredevil is, like, he's such a Catholic. It's like...
It's eating him inside.
There's a lot of characters who have established religious... affiliations beliefs, and beliefs, but like in him, it's like that's what he is
through and through.
Yeah.
No, it feels like his Catholic upbringing, his Catholic, his Catholicness.
Catholicness. It's an official recognized measure.
Yeah. Drives his decision making as opposed to other characters. You're just like, I'm a hardcore Christian, but I'm still going to just be a general person.
Beat
like,
the shit out of people.
Yeah, exactly. It's not his driving decision maker. And I mean, yeah, that's, like I said, that is my biggest exposure to Daredevil.
Okay, real quick, best moment out of season one.
Out of season one, I mean...
Nah, just hands down, best moment out of season one.
Hallway fight.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Kingpin's Good Samaritan speech.
Yes, the Kingpin.
I'm the evil intent.
Yeah, I'm the ill intent.
Yeah.
The set upon the traveler on a road he should not have been on. Gunfire just goes on.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
And then, the hallway fight. I really like the fight with Nobu as
well.
That's
a good fight.
That's a really good fight. My favorite little, like, if I had to pick like a couple of episodes, my favorite episode is the little mini Stick arc that is
it's called Stick.
But there's two episodes with him in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really dug that because you got some like deep Matt Murdock past of like when shit first happened and he was actually starting to be like, oh wait, I can taste all these different things in the ice cream. It's just really fucking good. Like I wish I had read more Daredevil. I really do. I just unfortunately have not.
So before when I think of Daredevil, I think of a couple things. One of them is the first comic that I really got back into, and it was Civil War, and it's the moment where they're escorting Daredevil into Prison 42, and he says Tony says something along the lines of like, well, Daredevil makes number 30 or something like that, and Daredevil just looks back over his shoulder and is like, I guess that's 30 pieces of silver for you, Judas.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good line.
Well, no,
line.
He's got it under his tongue, and the,
the
guard
tells
him.
They all had it under
guard tells Tony that he had this under his tongue.
A silver dollar.
Yeah, he goes, he found this under his tongue, hands it to Tony, and he goes, what's this? It's a silver dollar. I guess that makes 30, Judas.
Like, yeah.
But that's Iron Fist.
Yeah, okay, fine.
But it's
Daredevil.
Still, it's set up as Daredevil and written as Daredevil.
Yeah, I fucking love that little moment. Then I guess my next exposure to the character was actually, I mean, if we're being honest, was the movie with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that was my first.
That was real special.
Yeah.
That was a terrible ass movie.
So at the time.
Dad still says it's good.
At the time, I loved it. I loved everything about that movie when I first saw it. But then, you know, looking back on it, you see that Matt Murdock in that is a stalker.
Yep.
He's a horrible lawyer.
Yeah.
He's a killer.
Way too into Evanescence.
He's way too into Evanescence. I think that's her, but he's.
Bro,
way...
they bring it to light. Or life, or whatever the fuck.
No, there's wake me up.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Wake me
super
up.
Late. He
can't wake
in the playground.
Up.
Yeah, no, that's a stalker move.
That's a sweet
any,
stalker
any,
move.
Any other time, like people would be like calling the cops for Elektra.
Yeah,
but if it's fucking Ben Affleck following Jennifer Garner,
if it's a cute blind guy. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's not stalking.
It's not stalking because he can't see.
He doesn't know what he's following. And then I guess it should be mentioned that Daredevil was originally created by Stan Lee and who else? You know. Who created Chris or Adam, who created co-created Daredevil with Stan Lee?
Bob Kane.
No. asshole.
Zero fucks given.
Yeah, I don't know or care.
It shows up in the credits of every Daredevil episode. It's Bill Everett.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I skip past those.
Do you guys
to hurry up to the next one?
Do you guys know when the Daredevil first
appeared? I'm just gonna go limit and say no.
Mid '60s.
Early '70s.
1964, April 1964.
Right on.
Daredevil,
I knew it.
One.
Well, that was an easy guess because that's like where Stan Lee did all of, like, here's my weird ass ideas, and the ones that stuck are the ones we know now.
That's true. That's
what,
very true.
What popular series is based on Daredevil mythos?
What do you mean?
The thing that created Daredevil, what's based on? What?
Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a parody.
Toxic. Yeah, it's a parody.
Well,
yeah.
Sort of parody, like. They got mutated by the same sludge that hit him, and they fight the foot, and they're ninjas too. Like,
yeah, and Daredevil
and
fights the hand.
And their master is called Splinter. Like,
his stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never really compared him that much, but that is a shitload.
It's a huge reference
there.
To Daredevil.
Yeah, that's all it is. But then, yeah, I guess just like Adam, unless we're talking about like specific little character moments where Daredevil's in other stories.
Yeah, that's sort of what I realized, like, as we began to record this, like, you know what? I don't know how much of Daredevil they've all read at all.
Not a lot, dude.
Unfortunately, not enough.
Actually,
I have given you
back.
A good recommendation. Bendis to Brubaker is actually an amazing run.
Take that back. I have definitely read Daredevil Yellow.
I want to. Yeah. I really want to read Yellow.
Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, all of the color series are love letters to Love's Gone.
Yeah.
Daredevil Yellow is about Karen Page.
Even Captain America White is the same way.
It's
to Bucky, but it's a little boy romance.
No, but it is. But, yeah. But Hulk Gray is to Betty, Spider-Man Blue is to Gwen, Daredevil Yellow is to Karen Page, and I really did enjoy that series. And it makes her appearance in the show
Isn't
that much more powerful.
Daredevil run called like Man in Black or something like that.
No, there's the Man Without Fear.
Maybe that's what I could have sworn. That maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But
there's Spider-Man in Black.
No,
and Back in Black. Black and
I just
and
I
Black
there was
again.
A,
man,
Daredevil
Civil War
run.
Launched a lot of good stories.
Back in Black was good.
Unlike the Daredevil, a lot of
was
the Daredevil stuff
Black
that I love
Daredevil
is right around there.
No, it's Spider-Man.
Just late.
All right, it's time to go. Adam's tired.
I am going to tell you guys a joke to end this.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Yeah,
because I didn't get to tell my joke earlier.
Yeah,
I think you guys all heard this
school shooting.
But we're gonna pretend you guys haven't heard this. Are you ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What did the circus freak call his chili recipe?
What?
Yeah, you already told us this.
That's what I said. Chili con carne.
I still think my favorite one is the what do you call a spicy shellfish?
Scallopino.
Scallopino.
Did I tell you my other shellfish joke?
What? No, you have another one?
I do. I think I might have told this in the chat. What do you call a shrimp in a tiny bikini?
Oh, you did tell this. I forget what it was though.
Shrimp skimpy.
Shrimp skimpy. Yes.
Bam! Nailed it. Well, I'm Tyler.
Thanks.
I'm Adam.
I'm Josh.
That's Chris.
Somewhere.
No, I'm disappointed. Disappointed by those jokes.
And find us and anything about us on comicsbrew.net, and we'll see you guys next week. Oh, Comics Brew Plays number 10, Wednesday. Check it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Goodbye.